Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast. Gravity Leadership is a growing network of people who believe the center of the Christian life is the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ, and that learning to take love seriously is vital for how we practice discipleship, mission, and leadership. The Gravity Leadership Podcast explores, in practical ways, how to root our lives and our leadership in this love that holds all of us and everything together.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast once again. I'm one of your hosts, Ben Sternke. I'm here with Christy Penley. Christy, how are you?
Hi, Ben. I am great. Good to see you.
It's good to see you as well. It is very good to see you. We are looking forward to getting into this interview today with Matt Alexander. You and I were just talking before we hit record here, Christy, about something that happened in one of your recent Gravity Leadership Academy cohorts. Is that right?
I lead two Gravity cohorts on Thursday. And so my morning cohort, there's a girl in there who, going through the process at the beginning, I think there's some confusion and some not understanding and not fully grasping what's happening. Mm-hmm. But yesterday she processed a Kairos before she came to the cohort. And she actually completed the whole circle and she understood it. And she was like almost giddy about it. It was so darling just to be able to detect and to declare and to discern the bad news and declare the good news and all of that. And it was just really fun for me to see her do that. And so it got me stoked about it. Yes. And I love that. I love it when we're able to share. There's nothing more exciting to me than hearing what God is doing in the lives of people and for them to be able to articulate that. And it's it was just really fun to hear that and for me to share what God was doing in mine too. So it was good.
It is good. It is. I'm reminded little breakthroughs like that happen all the time in our cohorts. And I'm always just reminded, that like this is the reason we do what we do. It's really really beautiful moments, and that's kind of what happened. I mean, if you're unfamiliar, a lot of our listeners have never been through one of our cohorts, and so they won't be familiar with some of that language. But essentially, it's a framework and a process for, as you said, Christy, paying attention to what God's actually doing in my life around me, and then being able to participate in practical ways, more deeply in the life that we share with God. So I found it's really been a helpful place for a lot of people who they can it takes that sort of the articulation of that theology, like, oh, it's about like what's God doing and we want to join him in what he's doing, right? We want to join God in what God's doing around us and we want to participate in God's life. But it takes it from that being like a theological concept or something that looks great on a church website. And it actually takes it into your life to say, like, do you know actually what God is doing in the midst of the normal events of your life? Can you pay attention to what's happening, especially when things are bad or you're aware of negative emotions or things like that? How do you learn how to pay attention to what God's actually up to in the midst of that? And that's kind of what the cohorts are all about. So that's awesome. Yeah. It's a great story.
Yeah. And I was, even in my own personal life, Ben, this week, surprised at what God was doing in me. Like there was a moment where I had a situation where I just found myself super jealous of somebody and really wanting credit that somebody else was getting. And I could acknowledge, I could discern that the bad news was that I was thinking that it was all about me, right? And but when I sat with the Lord and I really started like, okay, God, what do you want to say to this? Like to this lie that I'm kind of not just believing, but living out. I thought his answer was going to be like, well, Christy, it's really all about me and kind of give me some churchy word, but he didn't. When I sat there, I really was hearing him communicate, no, Christy, give me your jealousy. Give me that desire to be acknowledged. I can hold that and I can forgive that. And there was something really personal and really kind of the Lord to be that intimate in what I was dealing with and what I was processing. So Yeah, just a personal example. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really great, Christy. I appreciate sharing that. There's more info in the show notes, but if you are interested in going through a Gravity Leadership cohort, check out gravityleadership.com/academy and check out the info there. Reach out to us at podcast@gravityleadership.com if you have any questions. Also, for free, you can join our Gravity Leadership community, which is essentially an email that comes out on Fridays with curated links for leaders. And there's a bunch of other stuff that just allows us to kind of communicate about what's going on. And there is a lot happening behind the scenes right now that I'm really excited about. We can't really announce it. Christy, shh, don't say anything.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. No, joking. But we can't really announce it yet, but there is a lot going on behind the scenes we're really excited about. New ways to stay connected to the community, new workshops, a lot of new stuff happening that I'm jazzed about. If you join our community, then we can communicate with you about all that's happening. So gravityleadership.com/join if you'd like to do that. All right. So this interview today is with Matt Alexander. One of the things, Christy, that you had just met Matt when we did this interview, but Matt Tebbe and I have known Matt Alexander for a really long time, actually. And we forgot to mention this on the interview. I don't know what happened, but sometimes awkward things happen. And I started the interview fairly awkwardly. Remember this? Do you remember that?
Well, there's another awkward thing that Matt said in this interview.
That's true. Yeah. So pay attention. See if
multiple
you can
things.
I'm not going to steal the thunder there because I was surprised. Anyway, one of the reasons that Matt Tebbe felt so bold to say the awkward thing near the end of this podcast is because we've known Matt Alexander for such a long time. So we met Matt, the church that Matt talks about closing down in Miami. That was a church that was part of a network that both Matt and I's churches were part of. And so this is probably, man, I can't remember exactly, but... we've probably known Matt for close to 15 years, actually.
Wow.
It's been a really long time. Yeah. Just kind of here and there at different events. So anyway, he's a great guy and he's doing these soul care cohorts now, where he kind of takes, pastors through Christian leaders, I think of all kinds through, just a framework for tending to the care of their own souls. And he's got a really good framework, I think. And, this is really important. Coming out of the pandemic as well.
I'm telling you, after this this interview, I told my husband, I was like, I think I want to like get some more information. This could be so great for me. And so maybe our listeners will think that at the end as well. Okay. And there's some information on how they can get connected to him as well.
Yeah, right on. All right. Well, anything else that you need to get off your chest?
Christian. No, nothing.
Any more stories of breakthrough? I'm kind of jealous. God's doing a lot of good things in your life. Yeah, so
it's good. No, right. Let's get into the interview.
Let's do it. Matt Alexander. Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast.
I'm here.
You are here. I'm also here with Matt Tebbe.
Really,
we got
happy
two Matts.
To be here.
We're going to have to specify.
Welcome, but Matt. One Christy.
Yeah. One Christy, so that'll be easy. Mm-hmm. So Matt and Christy are here as well. The three of us are going to talk today with Matt about self-care, about soul care. But Matt, first of all, for our listeners who may not be familiar with who you are and what you do, give us your info. Who are you? Give us a sense of who you are and what you get up to in a day.
Yeah, great. Well, I am down in sunny Miami, Florida. It's getting very, very hot down here this time of year.
I bet.
And I grew up in Texas and I've been in Miami for almost 11 years now, and was part of a church planting team and pastoring and planting a church in Miami, a missional kind of expression of the church here for 9 years. And I was a part of kind of transitioning that community to an end almost 2 years ago, which is a whole other story.
Yeah. We could do a whole podcast on that.
We could totally talk about that at some point. It was really beautiful and really challenging, and gut wrenching all at the same time. But that's another part of the story. And so kind of in this season, I am not doing kind of local church ministry work as much as a lot of coaching and supporting church planters and other folks in vocational ministry in a variety of ways. So I've got a few different kind of hats I'm wearing. I'm a coach and do a few different things with the V3 movement, which works with missional incarnational church planters and a coaching training pathway for them in their first 1 to 2 years of planting. I have just recently started with a new initiative called the Kineo Center that some folks may be familiar with. It's a retreat center in Puerto Rico that Dan and Tanya White and their family have started, and we're going to have a cohort piece to that as well that's starting in 2022, that cohort designed for pastors who are weary and wounded and are seeking to grow and process through their pain and move to a more healed and whole place. So I'm really excited about that. It was kind of a new initiative that I'm a part of. Okay. And then I do soul care cohorts and coaching kind of independently. Some of that is specific to Miami area leaders, but also folks around the country and some international folks I've connected with as well. So
yes, thank you. That aspect of your work of kind of working with pastors in terms of soul care, self care. That's why I wanted to talk to you today, because the pandemic has kind of taken this toll on pastors, and I wonder if you can fill in some of kind of what you've seen happen. The things that I'm aware of as a pastor, but also as a coach of pastors, are just like there's been a ton of criticism that's been like levied at pastors over this past year about how they're handling the pandemic. That hasn't all been helpful criticism,
right?
Some of it maybe has, but there's been a lot of kind of the usual suspects coming out of the woodwork to criticize pastors. There's cultural issues that have come to the fore that most pastors, I don't think, feel equipped to address. Racism, Christian nationalism, a lot of these things that I think blindsided a lot of pastors. They weren't prepared to talk about these things, and they don't know how to talk about them. And people are, again, criticizing the way they're talking about them or not talking about them. And I think there's also was in the pandemic this need to learn new modes of ministry. Matt and I oftentimes joke that neither of us feel like we're very good pandemic pastors, so we hope we don't have to do too many of these. But it's just hard. It was just hard for me to connect with people in a sufficient way. Like there's all, it was hard. It's been hard. So anyway, I wonder what you've seen, Matt, just not just in the pandemic, but just in terms of pastors and this need for soul care or self care.
Yeah, well, that is a big question. And, so I will not answer it. No, I will.
Okay, moving on.
I think, so, I mean, each one of those things that you just mentioned, each one of those dimensions, each one of them in and of themselves are extremely intense and heavy and weighty. And for a pastor or lead, or probably a leader of any kind, to have to deal with any one of those three issues just in a regular season of life or a regular year with typical human responsibilities, that would be challenging enough. But to have all three of those layers collide around the same time is just been really devastating for a lot of ministry leaders kind of in general, and some specifically that I've talked to and worked with in various capacities, I think, I do think that some of what has come to the surface in light of the pandemic, specifically in the past year, is probably like how exhausted a lot of pastors were already in general. And this kind of exposes that and takes that up, four or five or 20 or 12 notches, right? It just kind of adds, it adds a lot of fuel to the fire. And so we're seeing a lot of folks who have been in vocational ministry decide to transition out.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not against folks discerning a new direction vocationally or deciding, hey, this isn't a good fit for me anymore, or I need to take a bit of a break and discern kind of like all those things, I think, right, can be fine. And mm-hmm. at times are really healthy and really crucial actually to a full life in God and to live on mission and make disciples over the long haul. Sometimes we do need to kind of pivot a bit for a season, but but I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of folks who are kind of, you know, deciding to move on out of a place of just complete exhaustion and depression and kind of being crushed by not just the pandemic, but how their congregations or their communities are kind of responding to them and interacting with them in regards to what's been happening. And if we thought that pastoring was a tough, you know, it's been said by whatever leadership gurus or whatever, that being a local pastor is an extremely difficult job just in normal times. Mm-hmm. Like the expectations to kind of have the answer or to say the right thing or to craft the perfect, like, sermon or pastoral care in these types of times, the expectations are just so unrealistic that I think it's caused a lot of folks in ministry leadership to say, you know what, there are lots of other things I could do. I don't think I'm gonna keep doing this. And I get it.
I think that's a really important word of grace. You know, I think sometimes when we talk about these things and we talk about pastors quitting, it's almost like the implication is that it's a tragedy 100% of the time. When I think the word that you're giving us is like, well, not always. Like sometimes this could be helpful discernment, actually. Like maybe the pandemic has brought these issues to the surface and a lot of pastors are in it, like really discerning with the Spirit and saying, I got into this for the wrong reasons and I don't think I'm called to this or not to this place or that kind of thing. So I think there's some, in some ways you could almost say that quitting might be for some pastors an act of self-care depending on the situation.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know what, Ben, I mean, Matt, just to your point, Matt Alexander, the muscle.
You're not talking to yourself right now.
Not to yourself.
Yeah, I only do that.
He does that occasionally.
Off camera.
Sometimes. I see now. Am I supposed to call you El Jefe?
But I did change my name just to help everybody.
I see that on the stream. Yeah.
Matt number one.
So I do think, Matt, that there's a lot of people I notice in our Gravity cohorts that people get into these cohorts to attend to what God's doing, and I am every month stunned by the number of people who, when they pay attention to what God's doing, they go, "Why am I in ministry? What am I doing here?" Yeah. And they don't get into a cohort to leave ministry. But when they start tending to what God's doing, God's like, "Hey, why don't you question why? Let's talk about your calling and your vocation and why you're doing this." Yeah. And so I do think that oftentimes when we hear stats about it, so this many people left the ministry, et cetera, it's always sort of like, what an awful thing. But sometimes this can be a move towards health. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
The other thing I was thinking about is that, you know, in the midst of the pandemic, before the pandemic, us pastors were having a hard time with self-care anyway. Like, I don't think we're good at that, right? And then the pandemic hit and all the craziness of the last year hit, and it's almost like we're trying to put a Band-Aid on a bullet hole and we're bleeding out and we don't know how to do it. We didn't know how to do it before, and now it's like an emergency. And so we need to talk about it, and we need to participate and live in what does self-care really look like.
Christy, that was a wonderful segue. We don't plan these interviews, by the way. We just sort of like do this stuff, but that was what I wanted to ask next. So we're vibing on the same wavelength all across the country. It's great. But I did want to tune into that. So sometimes maybe quitting could be a faithful act for a pastor, but let's say, you know, for most pastors, let's say quitting's not faithful and that there is, the pandemic has brought about this need to address what Christy's saying. Like, I got to get better at self-care. I got to get better at soul care. Can you lay out for us what, I mean, we talk about this as though everybody knows what it is. But I think sometimes there's latent, at least in my imagination, I don't know if I know the difference between self-indulgence and like self-care like what is legit caring for my soul so that I can be faithful and fruitful in ministry? And then what is me like escaping from hard things or, you know, things like that. So
great.
How do you define it? What is soul care? What is self care?
Wonderful. Yeah. I don't have a, I'm okay with either term. I personally prefer soul care, and I'll kind of talk about that. But, I think a lot of times the general kind of perception about self-care, soul care is like doing a spa day every once in a while.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Right. Yeah. Doing something nice for yourself, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like self-care is like living your best life, or it's kind of like sometimes indirectly hedonistic, oftentimes like pretty overt. In Miami, it's like pretty in your face, but it's like kind of gets labeled
as
like
spa days,
right? Yeah,
plenty of in Miami,
plenty of spas around here to participate in. But which, you know, I think some of that is fine. Like, I'm not going to get upset about someone who wants to do a spa day every once in a while. But I don't think, for me, self-care and soul care, I'll use the term soul care, has more to do with attentiveness to your whole life and crafting a way of life that nurtures healing, wholeness, life-giving stuff as a rhythm of life of sorts. Mm. It's not something that happens every once in a while. One of the little things I say is that I say what soul care is not. Soul care is not supplemental. It's not selfish, and it's not sporadic. So self-care there's a flow to it. There's a rhythm to it. It's not sporadic. There's some intentionality to it.
You don't just do it when you're on the verge of burnout.
Yeah, you definitely don't. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'd love to talk a little bit about that a bit, but so it's not sporadic. There's a flow and a rhythm to it. And that takes some intentionality and some, you know, crafting. Okay. It's not selfish. I love the Parker Palmer quote where he talks about, he uses the term self-care. He just says self-care is not a selfish act. It's just good stewardship of the one gift I was put on earth to give, which is himself, his life. Mm-hmm. So for Palmer, he's working with this idea that our whole self, our whole life and being is the gift. It's not what I do or my skill set or what I'm really competent in. It's having a big, robust life, you know? Soul care is not selfish. It's actually good stewardship. And what was the other piece? Supplemental. It's not supplemental. It's not like this little thing you can add on to your life over here when you have time. It has to be a part of how you understand who you are and your vocation. So this is a big thing for ministry leaders in particular, which is my main context of kind of coaching and working with, is that ministry leaders on a whole, and I had this perspective for a long time, have a real compartmentalized view of a lot of things, but of like, here's my work, and I've got my spiritual disciplines over here, or my life with God over here.
Yeah.
And a lot of conversations I have to do with like, let's find a way to integrate this whole, like your life is the work. We have to see a way of life actually as integral to our vocation as much as preaching or administrative or pastoral counseling might be as well, or whatever else we do in our given ministry context. And when we're able to move more in that way, we see better stuff. You know, ministry leaders are one of the few vocations where like you have to like you could be a really, for example, you could be a really good banker, potentially be really good at your job, but be terrible at your own personal finances but still be like pretty effective at your job.
Yeah.
Right. You can't do that it's ministry leadership is not that dynamic. You have be living out of a growing life in God and understanding who you are and growing in, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, the life, you know, all these things in order to like lead and do your work well.
Yeah.
So you can't have this compartmentalization dynamic going on, but a lot of us really operate in that. And so, so that's, I don't know. That probably, I don't know if that hits on all the dynamics. Yeah.
That's super helpful. And the metaphor that's coming to mind is almost like the soul is to the ministry leader as the body is to the athlete. Hmm. Like athletes can't afford to segment their life like this, right? Like, especially like high performing athletes, like they can't just say, well, that's my work day. And then when I get home, I eat whatever I want.
Right.
It's like, well, no, it's all connected. You know what I mean? You can't just eat a tub of ice cream and expect to like perform well the next day or whatever.
Right.
And so like the stretching, like all this stuff that we might sort of look at in an athlete's life, that's like, oh yeah, they've got a meditation practice or a stretching practice or a, you know, a special diet that they're on, but their whole life is like geared towards, making their body able to perform. So maybe the metaphor breaks down because we're not, I don't want to think about ministry as performance, but there's a connectedness to the athlete's life that I think I'm thinking is maybe an apt metaphor.
Yeah, that's really good.
This podcast is brought to you by Gravity Leadership Academy, our 10-month online training intensive for Christian leaders who want to root their life and leadership in God's love and bring lasting transformation to their culture. In Gravity Leadership Academy, you'll learn the real-life practicalities of how to notice God's presence and activity in and around you so you can participate more fully in God's life and mission and open up space for those around you to do so too. We've worked really hard to make this training in missional leadership practical and doable. To find out more about Gravity Leadership Academy, visit gravityleadership.com/academy.
Matt, I'm interested to hear, just this morning, I'm in school at Denver Seminary getting my DMin, and I had to write a paper on the rule of life. What are the rhythms in my life? And it's not meant to be just like, what do I do every week or even every month, but like even annually.
Yeah.
And they gave all these different things, like, you know, sleeping and exercise and reading scripture and all that kind of stuff. And I finished my paper this morning right before I jumped on. And I was thinking to myself, I don't know how to rest. I don't know how to do that. And you mentioned like there's a connection, I think, between soul care and burnout. Mm. And as I wrote my paper this morning, I kind of had a freak out moment of like, I don't want to get to the place of burnout. So help, can you just talk to me and to our listeners about kind of that connection between soul care and burnout and how do we not get there?
Mm. Yeah, great. Well, there's a lot that probably we could talk about with that. So I won't answer again, but no, I think I'm a nine.
This is a good interview, people.
I'm a nine on the Enneagram. So getting me to like say my opinion about something is like, you really gotta motivate me. Really gotta pull it out of me.
All right.
Yeah, no, I think so. How do we rest and how do we, you know, navigate? Well, the first thing I want to say is that there's a difference between preventative. Maybe we could say preventative soul care work and recovery or restorative soul care work.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, and a lot of the, frankly, a lot of the big ministries that are out there kind of in the Western world that deal with like pastoral care, those types of like care for pastors, deal more with restorative soul care work. There's actually not as much stuff being done that's like really laser focused on preventative type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So actually in the way I kind of define and talk about soul care, the recovery stuff is important and is needed, but that I don't even call that soul care.
That's like soul triage soul care or something.
That's probably a better way to say it. Yeah, it's like soul care is the work you start to do of cultivating a way of life long before you've hit some type of crisis. And Now, that doesn't mean you might still hit a crisis, even if you are doing good work, that some things are, you know, we don't get to control everything that hits us and how it affects us and how it intersects it with our mental health and our family of origin and how all these things collide. But so I'm not saying it's like a silver bullet or anything, but I do think that's an important distinction to note.
Sure.
As far as like preventing burnout and how do we rest well, I think there are some really practical things that are important for, I mean, I try not to be too prescriptive with practices or habits and say, everybody has to do this or you're, I'm really interested.
You're headed for burnout.
Yeah, I really am. Yeah, or you're headed for burnout. I am really interested on some really basic things like how do you find yourself most easily, coming home to God? In a way, finding belonging in God. What's your spiritual personality? Gary Thomas wrote a book years ago called Sacred Pathways. And we did a lot of work with that in our church in Miami for a number of years. And we kind of tweaked some of the things and said, what's your spiritual personality? And we help people kind of get a sense of like how they most easily resonate with God. And how do you cultivate some really tangible practices based off your spiritual personality to help you live into that? I think the Enneagram is a great tool as well to gain a sense of kind of who you are and what some good practices might be for you to live deeper into who you are and mature and grow up in some ways as well. I think everybody needs to have some type of contemplative element to their life, while also saying that not everybody is a contemplative personality. And so each of us have different appetites, maybe is a way to say it, for the contemplative life or for contemplative practices, for example. Right. So in the cohort, in the training I do, it's kind of like, I do some contemplative practices 101. I work through like 6 or 7 different contemplative practices throughout the cohort, and everybody gets to try them on and experiment with them in a variety of ways. But we talk about repeatedly, like the goal is not for you after the training is over to implement all 6 or 7 of these contemplative practices. Maybe you find one or two that are particularly meaningful and helpful for you in this season of life, and you do integrate them into your way of life. Not everybody is a contemplative, and I don't want to try to force that on anybody, but everybody needs to have some kind of contemplative element to their life in order to have some spaces for reflection, for silence, especially in the Western world. Those things are so absent from our culture. And from most ministry leaders' way of life, that having some way to get at that is really crucial to digging underneath the surface. A lot of soul care and a lot of like rest has to do with our unwillingness or inability to kind of go beneath the surface of our life and to explore parts of ourselves that we would rather avoid and that we experience shame or guilt around or fear. And so that's a big thing that I try to work with leaders on as well, as like, how do we actually go beneath the surface, become attentive? And because burnout is not just a result of like doing too much, although that may be part of it. It's more about like, I think living an unexamined life and an incongruent life might be another way to say it as well.
Yeah. I read an article a while back that was talking about how people were saying they felt burnt out and that kind of thing, but they weren't doing anything. You know what I mean? Like, at least not like hard labor. Like, hardly any of us know what it's like to, you know, like dig ditches for 15 hours a day. Like that, there is a way you could physically burn out, right? But most of us, when we talk about burnout, this article is saying, are talking about an internal incongruity. We're talking about some kind of way that my life doesn't match my expectations, or, you know what I mean? Like there's an internal element to this burnout, you know, when we talk about it.
Big time. Yeah, for sure.
So I'm hearing you say a couple things here about soul care then, Matt. One, it's not a one size fits all thing. It's not like everybody, if you just practice Sabbath 24 hours, you know, like you go for it, you'll be fine. So it's not a one size fits all thing. There's some discernment to kind of a rule of life that really does help us do soul care. And the other thing I heard you say is that it's not just a matter of activities. So it's not just a matter of, I will not open the laptop, you know, on my Sabbath, or I'm going to, you know, make sure that I take a retreat day. I'm going to go to the monastery or something like that. So it's not just activity, but it's the willingness to dive beneath the surface of our lives and confront maybe issues of shame or pain that maybe we'd rather not look at. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll just kind of use some examples from the kind of the cohort that I lead people through.
Put some flesh on this. This would be helpful.
Yeah. So there are six different areas of soul care that we examine in the cohort. It's 8 sessions long in total over about a 4-month period, more or less.
And just to clarify, you're talking about these soul care cohorts that you offer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's one coming up this fall, right?
That's starting? Yeah. It'll start at the end. I do one kind of in the fall and in the spring. The fall starts around the end of August.
Okay.
And so,
6 elements.
Yeah. So they're kind of 6 primary elements. And the elements are, we look at emotional health, relational health, spiritual health, mental health, physical health, and is that it? No, I missed one.
You need a handy acronym.
Sorry.
It's all good.
There's 6 elements.
6 elements.
Emotional, relational, spiritual, physical, mental, vocational. Those are the 6. And that comes from the wellness community. That's not just like my idea or whatever. That came from the wellness community and work that they've done to say, this is what it means to be a human being. A human has these 6, every human has these 6 elements to their life. They may flesh out in a variety of different ways, but this is part of what it means to be a human being. And so what we do in the cohort is, for ministry leaders, we talk a lot about how Jesus is the model for being a robust, healthy human being. The most beautiful, healthy life that's ever existed is in the most whole life. And we actually see throughout the Gospels, Jesus exhibiting all 6 of these areas in a variety of different ways. And so we process through that. We process through the challenges that ministry leaders face with moving towards health in each of these areas and talk about ways that they overlap, because they all overlap. The leading analogy that I use is that our life is, we like to treat our life like it's this preschool cubby holder. If you guys can imagine that in a preschool or a kindergarten, my daughter just finished kindergarten, and in her classroom is like a cubby holder that each of their kids has their own cubby, and they put their lunch in and their crayons and whatever they got with them. And cubby holders are really nice and they keep things organized. They're great for kindergartners, but they're really bad for adults who are trying to live a full life. Because we try to compartmentalize our things and keep our emotions over here and our relationships over here and our work over here. Yeah. And that's just not how life works.
Yeah.
That's not how human beings are wired to function. Mm. We're much more like ecosystems that have an ecosystem has distinct parts to it.
Right.
The water is different than the rock, than the bird, than the tree. All these things are unique and distinct, but they all intersect and collide with one another. And to affect one is to affect the whole.
Yes.
And so all these 6 areas intersect with one another. And a lot of the work we do is say, okay, so we're going to work, we're focusing this session on emotional health. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk through that and how you are showing up emotionally in this season of life, where you're experiencing pain. Oftentimes when we experience something in our life that we don't like, our tendency is to ascend, to kind of do the power move, pull up our bootstraps, make it happen, get better, improve. A lot of that's just kind of behavior modification of sorts. That's the American way, by the way. We're taught to kind of make it happen, overcome. We either ascend or we avoid, we get away from it, we distance ourselves from it, or we become apathetic towards it. And the apathy move is more like we freeze. We just kind of coexist with whatever the thing is in our life that we don't like or that we don't want to address somehow. Yeah. All those moves are ways of not addressing the real thing. Yeah. And so what does it look like to become attentive to it? To
actually move. I figured there was another A word.
Yeah, coming. There's. You like, I got the A. I got the A thing. I grew up in a Baptist church, so there you go.
We do. Yeah, it's all the time.
Yeah.
Love it. So attentive is what we're looking for.
Attentive. What does it look like to move towards attentiveness? And attentiveness doesn't mean just developing a different habit. Mm-hmm. Although that eventually is what comes. So back to your question, like it doesn't just include soul care. Isn't just about like doing new or better things or new or better practices or activities. Yeah. Although that probably is a part of the journey, but a huge part of the journey is becoming attentive to the thing in our life that's not working or that is got shame attached to it or is causing dysfunction in our relationships or whatever. Yeah. And so becoming attentive to it means that we begin to go underneath the surface of like, okay, so I'm noticing that something isn't working. How do I become curious about that in a non-judgmental way? Just kind of notice it for what it is, not whether I think it should be happening or if it's good or bad or whatever. How do I explore some scripts that I might have around, if we're talking about emotional health, for example, and I'm noticing that I'm having a hard time being vulnerable with my spouse, if that's the issue that's showing up in this leader's life. Okay, well, let's talk about, so that you've noticed that, let's talk about scripts that you have in your head about marriage, about being present with your spouse, about sharing. Mm-hmm. How did your parents do that? How did other significant people in your life, how did other, you know, exploring some scripts, and then exploring like where there may be some shame or some fear, or some guilt that may be keeping you stuck. So how do we not just, for example, say like, I'm having a hard time sharing with my wife, and guess I'll just pray about it.
Pray about that more.
She really wants me to, but I don't really know. Like, how do we not just, that's like not doing anything. How do you become attentive to it and actually go down, actually descend a bit, explore it, and then we can begin to, you know, explore what maybe a practice might look like to move towards some
and
health.
Not just to put the practice, not just to kind of slap it on your life, like bolt it onto the side of your life. Like, I got this new practice, now I'm fine. But the practice is unto being able to do this, right? Being able to connect better with my spouse, for example, if that's the kind of the issue that I've got here.
Right.
So the practice is sort of unto, it, you know, like a good spiritual discipline is, it's unto something greater than just the discipline.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, Matt, it sounds really similar to a lot of the kind of work that we do in a Gravity Leadership Academy cohort. We try to encourage leaders to, you know, to get below the surface and to dive down into that. So it sounds great. And we'll put a link in the show notes if people are interested to find out more about that starting this fall. We'll put a link in the show notes to what is that going to be, to Matt, a form that they fill out or something?
It's just an interest form. Okay. If you fill out the interest form, you're not, you know, committing to anything. You're just saying, hey, I'd like more information.
Yeah. Matt, if I could just say real quick.
Perfect. That sounds great.
I was so sympathetic to your not remembering those six faculties that we have to care for, that I put them into an acronym for you. And I guarantee you'll never forget them again.
Oh, wow.
Great.
The acronym is SPERMV.
Okay, perfect. What's the acronym?
Or SPERMV.
That's pretty good.
So helpful.
Yeah.
Well.
Right?
Golly, there's so many things I want to say right now, but
and I don't know. We have to tend to our SPERMVs.
Right.
Yeah.
The old TM. Sperm bee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody knows about that.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a wrap.
Woo!
All right. Well, that's now you've got something extra. Now you've got something extra, Matt, to put in these cohorts. Wonderful.
Yeah. I'm always looking for tweaks and things.
There you go.
It's great.
Next time, I do want to hear. So text me next time you're asked to say what the six things are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just tell me if that came into your mind, because There's something you're never going to tell people that that's how you're going to remember it, but maybe right. that internally is how you'll remember it from now on. Maybe.
He's sticky, man.
Right. This is an Enneagram 9 moment where he's not really telling us what he thinks right now. So. No.
He's being attentive to what's going on.
He's diving beneath the surface in his own heart.
That's right.
No, Matt, I do have one more question. So, I think this cohort would be really helpful if, you know, for ministry leaders who are out there who are realizing, man, my life is jacked up. Yeah. This pandemic has not jacked up, like burned out, but like there's something off about the way I'm doing my ministry, the way I'm leading my life here. I think your cohort would be really helpful for them. If that's not in the cards for anybody out mm-hmm. there and they need something, just like what's one piece of advice? What's one practice that somebody can engage in if they just feel like, man, what's a next step for me? How do I open my life up to something better, to something new, to better soul care?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, without being too prescriptive, it differs from personality to personality, but I have found that for a lot of folks, awareness about what's really going on inside of us, maybe particularly ministry leaders that are, the temptation for ministry leaders, or one of them, is to like care about everybody else except for yourself, right?
Right.
And what's going on in your own heart. Mm-hmm. And ministry leaders have a really hard time being honest with themselves, I think, about what they're really experiencing, because we've got a lot of shoulds. I should be doing this, or I'm called to do this, and you know, there's all sorts of I'm not trying to say that's not true or accurate, but it adds layers of self, becomes difficult to be honest with yourself, I think. So one of the best ways to get honest with yourself and to become clear with yourself is to pay attention to your body, because our bodies don't lie to us. Our minds can play tricks on us, which is kind of amazing. You know, our minds can allow human beings to go through unimaginable situations and trauma, and our minds can figure out how to survive, even by lying to us about what's actually going on, and that's a survival kind of mechanism of sorts.
Yeah.
Our bodies don't do that. Our bodies, you know, can help us get clear. They can function as a mirror of sorts. And so a really simple, without being too prescriptive, a great place to think about, how do I get a sense of maybe what soul care might look like to me? Try to pay attention to the messages your body is sending you. And that's going to take some stillness and some quiet and maybe some feedback from other people that you trust of talking to you. It's going to, you know, require some attentiveness.
Yes.
But that could be a great place to start for just some awareness. And then you can start to go back. Okay, I'm noticing this. Maybe that's an entry point for me of beginning to practice some soul care, some self-care in a more holistic way, and paying attention to God in it.
Yeah, that's really good, Matt. I would add to that, like a therapist told me a while back that like my practice for the next month was just going to be breathing, like pausing to take 8 deep breaths 8 times a day. I was like, I'm just breathing. That's all I'm doing. I was amazed at how much I had been studied in ignoring my body, ignoring the messages that were coming from my body. And again, probably survival mechanism stuff kicking in there, but just taking those breaths, I found that like things would come up for me and I'd notice that I feel anxious, or I'd notice that I'm angry, or I'd know, you know, and a lot of these things, and being able to just write those down without that judgment. Cause I think you're right. I think ministry leaders, cause we're working for God, are oftentimes, you know what I mean? Like we oftentimes feel like, well, I shouldn't be angry about this, you know, or this feels petty for me to be upset about this, or, you know, that kind of a thing. At least those are the messages that I've sometimes had to wrestle with. So that's really great, man. Just get in touch with your body and notice what it's telling you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good first step.
Can be a good starting point for a lot
of folks. Absolutely. Yeah. It's great. Well, that's probably good enough for today. We'll put a link to that interest form if you're interested in checking out one of Matt's soul care cohorts. Are there other ways that people can find you or get in touch with you if they have other questions?
I mean,
are you on the, like the social medias?
Or I'm on social medias. Yeah, I am on Facebook and on Instagram.
Okay.
Those are the things. I should also say that I do this cohort not just for ministry leaders, but for anybody. So some of the flow of it is a little bit different if you're not in vocational ministry. But if you have a different vocation, I'd love to talk with you about that as well if that's interesting to you.
Okay. Very good.
Me too.
Matt, thanks for sharing all this with us today. Super helpful, super edifying for me. I think it will be for our listeners too.
Absolutely.
Fun to hang out with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Peace.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. Our show is produced by Ben Sternke, Matt Tebbe, and Ben Hardman. Aaron Sternke does our mixing and mastering. You can check out his work at aaronsternke.com. If you find our podcast helpful, share it with your friends in person and on social media. And don't forget to rate and review us online, as well as subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can join our Gravity community for free at gravityleadership.com/join. You'll get our latest content delivered straight to your inbox, as well as an email most Fridays with curated links to articles we found interesting or helpful. To join us, go to gravityleadership.com/join. And hey, we'd love to hear from you. Ask a question, make a comment, send us an idea, a recommendation, recipe, whatever. You can email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com. Catch you next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.